Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I am your servant, Lord. Thank you for strengthening my voice, and I need your strength now, Lord, as I proclaim your word, that you would be glorified, you would be magnified in the hearts, that you would work mightily, that you would cut out the distractions, cut out the callous, that we would be surrendered to you, Lord, that we would receive the word that you have specific for each and every person here. There are specific words you want the hearts to hear and receive. Holy Spirit, anoint my lips. Speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you turn to Joshua chapter 3, I hope you've been enjoying this. I've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying studying it. I've been enjoying sharing it as we get ready for the Promised Land, part 3, by faith crossing over. Change is on the way, folks. It is on the way. And just like Rahab knew it, I shared that last week. Just as Rahab knew, gone was her life in Jericho, gone was the way of Jericho. The number one sign of the Lord's coming, the second coming, is the convergence of all the signs and that Jesus and the prophets said to look for. Jesus said, when you see all these things take place, look up, your salvation draws near. The things that Jesus and the prophets said to look for was Israel back in the land, Jeremiah 23, verses 7 through 8. The Jewish people back in control of Jerusalem, Luke 21, 24. The gospel being preached to the whole world, that's being accomplished through the internet, Matthew 24, 14, and so much more. And as we see these signs, because we certainly do, we can be confident that we are living in the season of his return. And we see so many other signs, like the ones that are in Revelation chapter 6. The real possibility of war, inflation, famine, food crisis, all that in chapter 6, just in the first 8 verses. And the God of this world and the principalities and the powers are in a race to get everything in place. And with each passing day, we see more and more of this world acting out as scoffers, following their sinful desires. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Yet you know differently. You feel something differently. And I'm not talking about an emotional feeling. You're feeling a stirring in the spirit. And you're sensing it in this church. Because the dial's been turned up. All the 2 Timothy 3 description of last day actions, the attitudes are here. They're gaining ground hourly. The scoffers outnumber the believers in quite a margin as far as numbers, as far as people on earth. But I've told you numerous times, you and the Lord are a majority. But belief in God is fading from all parts of society. The idea of faith is all but ignored, even within the church. It's just, tell me what I need to hear, Pastor. Tickle my ears. Help me feel good when I leave church. And Jesus told us it would be this way when he returns. Is your faith in the Lord because when the Son of Man comes, he says, will he find faith on this earth? And you know the end is near when good is called evil, or good is called evil and evil is called good. Yet God's word sets us free. He has set us free. The captive, the shackles. I'm telling you, some of you don't put them back on. He has set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Start walking in the power of God. The freedom that God has given us in the knowledge of Jesus Christ is the ability to discern truth and free to apply it to earthly endeavors that's going on today. It can set you free from fear. It can set you free from uncertainty because you take one step of faith at a time. Godlessness and unfaithfulness is like, it's like a cancer. And it goes undetected until it finally manifests itself in some way. And at that point, the decision has to be made to be cut it out, because if you let it be, it causes irreparable harm. Yeah. And so goes the way of many churches. They're past the point of no return. Lawlessness and sin, and unrepentant sin, is terminal for both people and nations. The signs are clear. And we don't surrender, though. We don't surrender. We don't give up. We continue to resist. You are the resistance. You continue to resist evil, and you align yourself with God, and you align yourself within prayer of Him and in holy conduct, because He's still in control. You have to surrender to Him and His plan. And I know it's hard. Many feel like, how much longer? You have a heavy day. I'm coming home and it's a tough day. How much longer do I have to deal with this? Many look at the reality of your circumstances today and it appears impossible. But we serve the God of miracles. When you look at something that's impossible, this is when you need to stir up the faith and remember who God is. Particularly for the days ahead, folks. And things are going to look very intimidating in the days ahead. And the battle is going to be fierce. This is why you need to prepare your hearts today. Prepare your mind spiritually for what is coming next. Which takes us to our passage. What a setup, huh? Whew. Man. Chapter 3. Joshua. It says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. They've come to the Jordan. God told the people of Israel, you need to wait 3 days at the shore of the Jordan of the river. That's Joshua chapter 1, verse 11. Now, at all that time, the people of Israel, I'm going to tell you, They didn't see a stream. They saw a rushing river. The banks were overflowing with the spring rains. And for 3 days, 3 days, they viewed this rushing and swelling river. And I am sure they were thinking, how is this going to happen? You guys there? Have you been there? How is this going to happen? Listen, how is a whole nation going to cross this river tomorrow? It's one thing to send out a couple of spies to make their way. We're talking about millions of people. How do you know that? Well, I know there was 40,000 warriors just from 2.5 tribes that cross over. That's just fighting age men. How about women, children, and the elderly? And that was 2.5 of the 12 tribes. But listen, 3 days, there's something special about 3 days with God. Listen, it's within 3 days.
how people from every tribe, nation, and tongue of all who have believed will be able to cross over into eternity because of Jesus' death on the cross and his mighty resurrection after 3 days. There's something about 3 days, folks. And we know during those 3 days, there was a special mission. So to save Rahab, the prostitute, and her family. So it says after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And I'm sure there's a lot of chatter at this moment. Look, they can see it. Just on the other side is the promised land. God bless you, sister. It's all right. I sneezed like 30 times in a row. Just on the other side of the river is the promised land. But between the promised land was the obstacle. Right? How is God going to do this one? How is he going to do it? And it says here, verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. You hear that? Go after it. Go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. About 1,000 yards. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. It's not something familiar, folks. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests carrying it, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out your place. When you see... Then, listen, Joshua doesn't send out his engineers and his laborers to build a bridge. I think it's pretty safe to assume God has directed Joshua here. Instead, he sent the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark represented the visible representation of God's presence with the people. That's what it is. Joshua knew this is not a man's problem. This is a spiritual problem to cross over. The battle would belong to the Lord. It was not going to be an act of human engineering. In the carnal, sure. Listen, in the carnal, in the flesh, man would say, hey, let's devise a bridge. Let's get a committee together. Right, Jim? Figure out the best way to do this. And sure, after a long time, maybe we can figure out a way to get 1 million people across. Yet God said what? He said, prepare yourself, because in 3 days you're crossing over. Not 3 weeks, not 3 months, not 3 years, 3 days. 3 days. And God required that they keep 1,000 yards, those 2,000 cubits, behind the ark. And that was for two reasons. One, to respect the holy nature of the Ark of the Covenant. The Holy of Holies. But it was also to make sure that everyone could see the ark. A clear view that you would know which way you must go. That shows that the ark, the presence of God, was leading the way. Amen? The Lord, as we sang, O mighty fortress, you go before us. Now you start to see how all these songs get picked out. The Lord would go before them, and Israel would accomplish this impossible task with what? Their eyes fixed upon God's presence. Do you? And following only after his presence. You understand? Only after his presence. Because he is the way maker. He is the way maker. But Joshua says this. He says, sanctify yourselves. Because this is a spiritual battle. The Lord speaks through Joshua. And it requires spiritual preparation for what's about to happen. Sanctify yourselves means to separate themselves from the common things, to focus on the Lord.
Listen, in the Old Testament, it was like rituals. It was a cleansing that would happen to come into the presence of the Lord. There was a ritual that would happen. Yet for us, that cleaning up of dirtiness was like sin. For us, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But we always need to make sure that we don't have sin in our life, because that sin, it creates a distance from God. That's why if you repent and go to Him, He's faithful to forgive you. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. Kodeshim. Kodeshim. That's what kadosh. Be holy. Set yourself apart. For tomorrow is the eve. Tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders among you. He's saying prepare your heart for what is about to happen. I was last night I was preparing my heart. This morning I was preparing my heart. As I was coming into church, I was preparing my heart. What is going to happen today? And I encourage you to start doing that yourself. Come with an anticipation. Lord, what are you going to do today? Could you imagine if you knew that the Lord was coming tomorrow? If you knew He was coming tomorrow, how would you change things? I think you would certainly be making sure your oil was filled, your wicks were trimmed. And guess what? You should be doing that daily. Daily. Seeking the Lord, dying to self, following Him in an act of obedience. Listen, the reality is your last breath could be at any moment, and you are going to stand before the Almighty. Thank God, if you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, that you could boldly approach the throne room of grace in your time of need. What an awesome God we have. There's this anticipation. I remember as a child, Jesse can testify to this. I remember when my parents would be like, hey, we're going to Disney World, you know. We lived in Florida, so we went a lot. But like there was this anticipation. We packed our bags. They were ready to go, right? And then we made sure everything was right in its place. And then our minds were thinking about that moment coming. We didn't sleep much that night because there was anticipation of what was about to happen. And this is just a childhood memory, something so small, and how much more our God and our Savior of knowing that we will be with Him for all eternity. My dad would say, my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm prepared to stay as long as you need me, Lord, but I'm ready to go. Listen, the Lord will do wonders among you. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, the Lord Himself will descend. The Lord Himself will descend. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is going to take us over, just as the presence of God led the way for the Israelites to cross over. Man, God's word is so good. And we're just getting started. Buckle up, church. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant. This is verse 6. And cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. So he takes up the Ark. He says, take up the Ark, cross over. So again, we can assume God's speaking to Joshua, because this was in God's word. Joshua has the example. Remember, he had Moses as his mentor, and he remembers crossing the Red Sea. Okay? And what was Joshua told in Joshua 1:18? The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Remember, they spent 2 years in the wilderness getting the law. Okay? And then another 38 years wandering. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua had the word of God on his lips. He had it on his mind, and he had it in his actions. Can you say the same? Where are you lacking? Maybe it's the action part. Maybe it's on the lips. Maybe it's all three. Maybe you only pick it up and think about it when you feel like you need it. That's not the time. Start doing it now. Start getting it inside your heart now. So Joshua, because he had past experience, he's been prepared for this moment. There's that preparation we see. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Listen, this is an impressive step of faith. Not just for Joshua, folks. How about the priests? Listen, do you want to be one of the priests carrying the Ark? You're going first. Joshua's not going first. You're going first. They're the ones about to step into this mighty raging river, not knowing what's going to happen. This is the direction. And all they knew was that the Lord was going to show up. He was going to show up big, and he was going to do a wonder. Listen, at this point, they don't know the full plan. They only have their directives. Listen, folks. The battle may be raging in your life no different than this river. But sometimes you have to take that first step of faith. You got to take, and sometimes it's multiple steps of faith. But you have to do it. Faith leads us into greater victories. And guess what? With greater victories means greater enemies. As you lay hold of the promises of God. Listen, Hebrews 11, we spent a few months on that chapter, but what is the hall of faith? What is this single thing that happens? All of them, they took action with their faith. It wasn't just words. They took action. Yeah, something to ponder on. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day, verse 7, I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. Joshua takes the step of faith. God encourages him all the way. God, listen, God is always looking to encourage us and help us along our way of faith. But you have to have ears to hear the encouragement. You also have to have ears to encourage another. Just as what was spoken to John. Listen to the Holy Spirit. This is a body. And when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. The Lord leads you and says, hey, you should be praying for somebody. You should do that. Be obedient. We often think that the problem is we don't hear the encouragement because we think in our own means. Rather than listening to the voice of the Lord, listen, he's with us. He leads us. Are you listening? He encourages you. And he's encouraging Joshua that they may know that I am with you just like I was with Moses. God will make Joshua a leader like Moses in the eyes of the people, and he will do it by using Joshua to miraculously lead the people across this impassable body of water. And the encouragement was not only just for him, the encouragement was for the people that they would have a leader amongst them, one, a godly leader. So when you've come to the edge of the water, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua has obeyed based on the previous guidance, based on faith and understanding God's word. God now gives him more instruction. Now we're going to see God move up to this point, knowing that we didn't know how. Now it's going to happen. We're going to know how. It's almost like a baptism through the Jordan, right? So Joshua has been called. He's been chosen. And now it's like the baptism through the Jordan as he's about to cross over. It's kind of cool, isn't it? Yeah. Verse 9. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that heap come from down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. By this you shall know that the living God is among you. Joshua knew that there's a way that God connects events in our lives. And the fact that he's going to move on behalf of Israel is further proof of the promise that of his future blessing, of what he's told them that their inheritance would be, and move for them. The assurance of the promised land, the assurance of victories over the enemies. Our God never fails. He never fails in his purpose. He never fails in his aim. He is not like Baal, like Elijah said, where's your God? Is he going potty? No. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient, and he is omnipresent. Jesus said, hey, by this sign you will know, the sign of Jonah. 3 days. And then you will see the Son of Man rise, right? The promise. The promise for the whosoever's would be fulfilled. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into Jordan. Joshua knows the ark will lead the way. The presence of the Lord is leading the way. Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. This is what's happening here. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters that come downstream, they shall stand up as a heap. Listen, all the worrying for 3 days did nothing. Nothing. Worrying and circumstances are exhausted now. Now watch God move. Watch him move. Listen, the impossible troubles we have in this life, in carnal eyes, can seem oppressive. They can seem like an impossible trial. But with spiritual eyes, there's an opportunity for us to trust and see God work wondrously. So in verse 14, it says, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people and those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. The priests begin their procession. That's what happens here. With the Ark of the Covenant, it's 1,000 yards in front of the people, and the priests came, and they walked right into a river that looked like it was not going to stop anytime soon. As they approach it, it's still rushing. Again, think of the priest. They are going to be standing there in the riverbed while the entire nation, millions, cross over. Who knows how long they had to stand in the riverbed? I don't think it was a moment. I think it was a long time. But you have to take that step of faith. And look. In a moment can seem like forever. A moment can seem like forever. But those who wait, trust, rely, seek will renew their strength. So they dipped in the edge of the water. They dipped in the edge. The water hadn't stopped rushing yet. And I'd say for many of us, we'd probably want the riverbed to be dry. Maybe a slow trickle, and then we'll take that step. But God was truly calling Israel to step out in faith, and so he calls us to walk out our faith, to lay hold of his promises. And it says in the scripture here, the Jordan, again, that's how I knew, the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of the harvest. This is not a trickle. This is a raging river because of the spring rains at the early harvest. I went to school at Quincy University, which is a river town. It's on the Mississippi River. I've seen the Mississippi River during the spring rains. I have seen it swell. I have seen how intimidating it is. I've seen when things come into its path, when the river swells, what do they call that? The apex or whatever it is, when it crests, and anything in its path, it wipes out. And that's what they're looking at, just for perspective. In verse 16, the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap. They stood still and they started building. Very far away at Adam, the city is beside Zaratan. So the waters went down in the Sea of Arabah, and the Salt Sea failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. And the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over to the Jordan. Again, man would make a bridge or build a dam and wait for it to get dry. Yet God says, I have an appointed time. I'm going to make the way. God stops the flow of the river, but there's another miracle here. What is that? Dry ground. Yeah. If the river just stopped, that's all mud. A million people are going to slosh through the mud with all their stuff? No. No. Dry ground. God miraculously dried the riverbed so they could cross over. And this points to the 40 years earlier, the passing through the Red Sea. God led them out of Egypt with a miracle, and he brought them into the promised land with a miracle. How awesome. Us too. Us too. No, us too. How? The dead in Christ are saved by a miracle. When you are saved, you are transformed. That is a miracle. And when you get to heaven, it is going to be a miracle. In a rapto second, you and those who have died before us are going to get glorified bodies. The priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground. How did it happen? I don't know. Maybe God will tell us someday. I mean, he's awesome. How about that? He's awesome. But you need to understand, again, the presence of the Lord, the presence of God. There's a centrality that's happening here. They mention the Ark of the Covenant 17 times in this passage. This is all about trusting in God, knowing he was with them, and his presence was there, and he would not forsake them. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You are mine. That's what he's done to you. You are mine. He's saying, I've called you by name. You are mine. And what does it say? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though the rivers, through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. No, I'm gonna build them up in a heap. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. There's still three that won't bow. God's always got a remnant. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Your Savior. Yeah. I am the Lord, your God. Yeah. And it says, and all Israel crossed over on the dry ground until all the people had crossed over completely. Let's continue. Chapter 4. Oh, you thought you were done already. Nope. These two are tied together. And it came to pass, verses 1 through 9, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one from every tribe. And Joshua said to him, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. It's a lot of word. When the people had crossed over the Jordan, Israel is now on the other side of the Jordan in the Promised Land. But what is life like in the Promised Land? I mean, I know a lot of us look, when we hear like, I looked over Jordan, what did I see? Come for to carry me home. Like, we think of the Promised Land as our eternity. And it's okay to think those things, but reality is, what was the Promised Land like that? It wasn't an endless vacation for the Israelites. It was a place of battle. But most of all, it was a place of trust. They knew they had to trust God because the challenges are only going to get bigger in the Promised Land. And so did the blessings. We have the promises of God through Christ, and he equips us for that. That's just like us crossing over faith through Christ. We have access to all the spiritual blessings of God. Along with that comes quite the spiritual battles in this life. On this side, right? On this side, which God has thoroughly equipped us for by his word. Not in our personal adequacy. In our inadequacy. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 5. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God. Let that ring. Our sufficiency is from God. Naked, you came into the world. Naked, you're going to leave it. After seeing God move across, he holds up the Jordan, right? I mean, like, most of us are going to want to, maybe not, but most of us are going to want to get on. Let's go to Jericho. We got some momentum. We're really stoked about what just happened. Let's take advantage of it, right? But God has more work to do. There's more spiritual preparation that he has to do with Israel before they go into battle. And so we have to prepare ourselves for battle. And he says, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan. So each tribe was to take a representative to take a stone from the dry riverbed when they crossed over. And they're going to set up a memorial. And these are not pebbles, just to be clear. They are putting them, they are carrying them over their shoulder. That's how, they're big stones. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come. The purpose of this memorial was so that the people of Israel could teach their children about the great things God had done. So the work would not be forgotten among the generations. Something was learned from the past here. Why? Why do I say that? Because Israel passed through the Red Sea. They passed through the Red Sea. They saw a mighty work with God. Yet only a few days later, they were grumbling, what shall we drink? They already forgot the mighty works of God. They were back onto a new circumstance. And so my question to you is, when was the last time you have set up a memorial or an altar of God's greatness? We often fail in our trust of God because we forget the great things he has done in our life. And often the faith of our children is weak because they've never been told how great our God is and what he's done for you. And how he's still working in your life. Don't keep your faith under a bushel. People are watching you. Give me a reason for the hope that you have. Our job is to tell others, future generations, how great our God truly is. So Joshua sets up Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. 12 are getting set up outside. 12 are getting set up in the midst. The river's raging. Who's going to see it? What's the point? Who's going to see it? The reason is the river is not always raging, folks. It's not always raging. When the season of drought comes, those stones would be seen and would testify of the time that God completely dried up the Jordan. Oh, yes, that is good. Listen, in time of drought, we need to remember the great things God has done. And some of you that even are not here today need to hear this because you are in a dry season. You need to know dry bones can live again. If you are there, if you are in that moment, hear the word of the Lord. Let the Spirit of God breathe new life in you. Stir up your faith and start walking in the promises of God. He is powerful. So the priest who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed over. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over, the ark of the Lord and the priest crossed over in the presence of people. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses had spoken. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priest who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass when the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord God had come in the midst of the Jordan, the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, and the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed the banks as before. So the priest stood, listen, the priest stood with the Ark of the Covenant for the entire time that the nation took to cross over. And I am sure they were getting tired. And maybe some of you are getting tired of listening. Too bad. They were getting tired. I'm sure their muscles were aching. I'm sure they were exhausted. Can you relate? They were just standing there. They were waiting, but they were in the presence of the Almighty God. And I believe they were spiritually and physically sustained by the presence of God to remain there in the river through the entire crossing. I've seen those challenges. Some of you may have seen this, where like the big bodybuilder, he's like holding like the 2-pound weight, right? And it just shows like, after an hour, he's like, his arms are just shaking. Like the first minute, first 10 minutes are fine. But like, as time goes by, atrophy starts to happen. A million people crossing over. They're not in sports cars here, folks. Got carts and everything. So just some perspective. I think we need, perspective is everything, folks. You need to understand that. The priest, listen, the priest had to stand firm. They had to stand steadfast so others could cross over. Isn't that applicable to us? You have to be steadfast in your faith so that others can cross over as they're looking to you as you're holding the presence of God. Oh, yeah, there's application. Anybody that tells you to unhitch from the Old Testament, flush it. People are watching you. And the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, the half the tribe of Manasseh, cross over armed before the children of Israel. Remember that in chapter 1? The warriors, this of the tribe settled on the east side of the river. They already had what they needed, but they had given their word to Moses that they were going to cross over. And I said to you, if you've already settled, you think you've arrived, you haven't. You have responsibility to see others through their times of trial. We talked about that too, Cindy, didn't we? Yeah. Yes, we did. Where was I? On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua. God fulfills his promise. He's a what do we sing? Promise keeper, right? He raises up this great leader for Israel, just as he had done with Moses. For any of you that think that can't happen, you know, Moses was a stutterer. And he would go before Pharaoh and speak before him. God loves to use the weak, the marginalized, for his glory. The waters of Jordan return. This is all God. The presence of the Lord leaves the river after they've passed over and it starts to flow again. What a sight. What a sight that had to be. I hope there's like a highlight reel that we get to see these things. You know, because Cecil B. DeMille's doesn't really cut it for me, you know? Or the new one, right? That like showed like it kind of like marshy and stuff like that. There was a Moses movie, I think. Verse 19. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. This in Gilgal, listen, this is where their headquarters is. This is going to be the area of operations that they're going to use as the foothold and to conquest the rest of Canaan land. So isn't it fitting that they would set up a memorial here in the Promised Land? Every time they would return, they would be reminded of how God acted on their behalf. And they spoke to the children saying, when your children, verse 21, ask their fathers in time to come saying, what are these stones? You shall let your children know saying, Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land, right? What are these stones? There was the purpose is to remind us, because it's easy to forget the great miracles God has performed on our behalf. I know I said that already, but it's true. What God has done for you. He pulled you out of the miry muck. What the grace that you have been given. We're so caught up in the next moment, we don't forget about what he's done for us. And I'm not saying that like we remember the past works of God and live in the past, thinking like, well, the best days of our experience was back then. No. It's to remind us. It's to remember that it's a point of faith so you can trust God for bigger and greater works in the future for his glory. Because you've seen and experienced his awesome power at work in your life, and you've experienced his faithfulness. Israel would need this for the battles ahead. And the other part about letting your children know, they need a point of contact of God's work in the past. The work did not begin in their time. Remember, even the people who are passing over here, they are the children of those who escaped Egypt. That generation had to wander in the wilderness. So this is the offspring that are crossing over. So there's a memorial being set for their offspring.
and also that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord. There was a purpose for the world too, so they would know that there is a God in heaven who does miracles. A God they should seek with their whole heart. That is why you need to be salt and light when people question, what are these stones? What are these stones in your life? When they question something that God did in your life, let me tell you how God was faithful in me, in my life. It's called testify. And that's why you have scripture too. The living word of God. There's a testimony here of what he's done and his faithfulness. And this chapter 3 and 4 is such great application for us. Are we, as we look to walk out this life by faith, God is calling you to be set apart. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The New Living says, think clearly, exercise self-control, look forward, remember that anticipation, to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Yes. That's your blessed hope. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, Egypt, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Yes. To face such impossible trials, I need to get some water for the end here. I am getting towards the end. To face the impossible trials and challenges in this life, you have to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Just like the Israelites look to the presence of God, he always leads us. Jesus is the ark. He is the ark, and he's leading, and he is in the midst of it. Who's the one that's in the midst of the candles in Revelation? Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of the ark. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And Jesus cleared the way to victory over all things. How do I know that? Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers. And who are we at war with? Principalities and powers, spiritual high places and wickedness, and governors. And he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them over them in the cross. And as we keep our eyes and follow behind our victorious Jesus, guess what happens? The river of impossibility dries up. The Jordan of impossible becomes, I am possible.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I am possible.
Yes.
Because of him, it's possible. God is faithful. He has been so good to us. And when he sees you through, you need to remember those moments and be ready to give the reason for the hope you have. And I wonder how often we are looking to and trusting in the Lord, but it's just bravado. It's just words. This is something for you to ponder, and you listening online, whenever you hear this message, is it just bravado? Is it for 3 days you're staring and like, oh yeah, God's going to get over the Jordan. That's a promise that we're going to go over there. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, your stomach drops because now it's time to cross over. Now it's time to take that step. In all the chatter, there's no life in it. For God truly is not in your trust. So what happens? Disappointment comes. Disappointment comes because it's of the flesh and it's not of the spirit.
Yes.
And I've said this a few weeks ago, but have you forgotten who God is? Have you forgotten who God is? Have you forgotten the I am?
He's the one that spoke the world into creation. He's the one that's going to tear down the walls of Jericho. He parted the Red Sea. He stopped the Jordan River. He used the blind and strength of Samson to tear down the Philistines' temple. He used little David to conquer the champion Goliath. He turned Simon the fisherman into Peter to spread his truth. He used a murderer, Saul, to write the majority of the gospel and bring it to the Gentiles. He fed 5,000 with two fish and five loaves. He walked on water and thus had Peter walk on the water. He rose Lazarus and Jairus' daughter to life. He raised you and I to new life by the power of the cross to tell us, it is finished. Have you forgotten who God is? That heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Have you considered who you are in Christ? Have you considered your calling in him? You are an heir. You are a child of God. And God chooses the weak. He chooses those who are nothing. He chooses the poor. He chooses the marginalized because his ways are not our ways. Don't forget who God is. He doesn't need your strength. He needs your trust. He needs your surrendered heart giving him control. He wants you to just be open to let him to be God. Nothing is too difficult for him. Put away your hurts. Put away your past. Put away your awesome resume. Put away your fear. Put away your failures, even if the world is coming around you, even when the Jordan River is raging. The call from Scripture is don't waver at your faith in God. Stand still. Let that trust become rooted, not because of self-made confidence. Or because you're the most composed person. And not because you've seen it all, because you're not going to see it all. No. Listen, friends, what's coming on this earth, none of us have seen. And you need to be spiritually prepared for it. The deception this year alone is going to be off the charts. And as you see AI grow, and I'm getting off into a tangent, but you need to be prepared. Put on the garment of praise and start praying and let God speak to you and lead you again. Because you need a heart set apart for God. I'm closing here. God has his hand on you and I for his specific purpose. And he'll use his words. He'll use his people. He's going to use dreams. And he's going to use visions. And he's going to use that still small voice of God to get you on track when you are off track. Yes. Just like Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing? When are you going to start doing what I've called you to do? You just called down fire from heaven. I got more work for you. Later on, you're going to see Joshua at an old age. There's still much land to possess. God is shaking this world, folks. And I feel the Holy Spirit leading me, saying, let go of the things of this world and even some people that want to distract you. Just let it go. Let God do the work. And at times you can feel isolated. The four walls crushing in on you. Perhaps you're staring at the raging river. Don't buy the lie. You have not been forgotten. The Lord is with you. And perhaps you are in a quiet or a dry place right now. I'm telling you, take it to the Lord. Press into him. Because it's during those times of isolation that we will find God is really doing a work. He's really molding us. He truly is refining us. He is the potter. We are the clay. Yes. cracks in the pottery are revealed when the fire, when the potter puts the clay that he's formed in the fire. And then if he has to start over, he starts over. And you can press into that because he's going to build some character in you as you and I go on the front lines. He knows then you will be ready, and he will trust us with what he has appointed us to do. And he has appointed mighty works for you. He has chosen us to do a work for him, and we need to be set apart. He has chosen to do you to do work for the King.
Amen.
And he has anointed us, and he has equipped us to be used for the advancement of his kingdom. And that means to be made holy and consecrated to him. We have been given a special role in life. To serve him. He served us. He died for us. Now we serve him. We have been transferred from a dominion of darkness into a kingdom of light. And therefore, we are strangers to this world system. So stop thinking and acting like the world. Start thinking like God thinks. It's a life to serve God and become more like Jesus. Because it's triage time.
Yes.
Let's snatch some brands from the fire.
Yeah.
Here I am, Lord.
Yes.
Use me. Send me. It's time. It's time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I have spoken your word. And yet there's still those who resist. There's still those who have haughtiness, Lord. Lord, if it takes breaking them, then break them. That they can be rebuilt in you. That they would understand the urgency of the hour as your time draws near. That it's not a game. Eternity is too long to be wrong. May your word bring forth fruit in the lives of this church body. For your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.